Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
All right, so we're doing the Infinite Banking series at last, Joe. And I'm excited to do this because I think it's going to help our listeners out a ton. And I'm looking even to be educated even further on the infinite banking concept. And I think where we start with this is, what is infinite banking and why should you care? Is that a good starting point?
It's such a beautiful question. It's such a broad question, and it's a super important question. Good to be with you, JR. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, Joe, let's cut to the chase. I mean, a lot of people have heard of the infinite banking concept. Otherwise, why would they be listening to this show right now? And I'm curious, why are you, man, I'm going to use a word here, and if it's wrong, you tell me, why are you so fanatical about infinite banking and that option for people?
I think I like the word fanatical. I think that's a good word. I think if you're not fanatical, the other word would be, you know, blasé, nonchalant, careless, middle of the road, right? I'm passionate and fanatical about it because it has to do with people's entire financial future. And problem number one, among many problem number ones, is that so many people don't take a direct in control interest in their finances. They just look at their finances. They often say, it's just hopeless. All I'm going to do is I'm going to work until I drop, and I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. And I think for a person who lives in the United States of America, that is just a poor attitude for someone who's a rich person. And pretty much anybody who lives in these borders in the United States is rich compared to the rest of the world, right? There are 2 billion people on this planet who live on less than $2 a day, $2 a day, right? So when I meet people who are making $6,000 a month, $8,000 a month, $15,000 a month, I don't care what the number is. I really don't care what the number is. And they have resigned themselves to living a lifestyle which requires them to live on credit because they haven't ever grasped the concept of living beneath their means. And so they feel like living on credit is mandatory. Somebody told them when they're 18 years old to get a credit card, and they've gotten on that credit card and they've never gotten off of it. Now, I was a poster child. I got a credit card. I think I was 19. It was Chase Visa. I will never forget it. Chase Visa. I got this thing in the mail. You could apply for this card. You'll have a credit line. It was wonderful. And I had a $3,000 credit line at age 19. Guess how long it took me to charge up $3,000? I don't know. 10 minutes? You know. And my daughter Alex was born when I was 32 years old, 13 short years later. And at that moment, during that year, I paid Chase Visa off. Okay. So what I'm saying is, people are taking their paychecks, and the first thing they figure out is, where can I send it? Where can I spend it? Where is this extra money going to go to? I have an extra $600 this month, or an extra $60. Where can I spend it? That's their first impression, right? Their first knee-jerk reaction. So infinite banking is wrapped up around the idea of control. So if you want to think about control, that is going to give you freedom, right? So infinite banking is all about controlling the banking function. And banking function is just too fancy a word. But the banking function has to do with every single means by which dollars come in to your system and go out of your system. And for most people, what I just described is a revolving door, right? The money comes in, it goes out as soon as it comes in. You know, a lot of people are on bank draft for their payments. They're on bank draft for their car payment, for their power bill, for their mortgage. And that's all fine. I'm on bank draft for those things too. But they've resigned themselves to setting up a master over them, an overseer, a slave master who is taking the best part of their life because they're submitted to giving away 90% or 100% of their income. Now, Nelson Nash comes along I met him in 2000. That's when his book came out. And he says, you don't have to live this way. You need to, if you're interested, you should look at why your money is going out to banks. And I use the term generically. Banks, credit unions, finance companies, credit card companies, any kind of lender, right? You need to look at how much is going out and why. And he tells us in his book that about a third of our money, a third of our take home, is going out in interest payments. I've been repeating that statement that Nelson taught me based on his research. And I've been validating it over and over and over again with people. Nobody disputes me. When we go through their finances, their cash flow analysis, a third of their take home is going out to interest payments. And the further down the road they go, the more money they make and the bigger BMW they buy. And listen, that's all fine. I got two fantastic vehicles in my driveway. The only payment I make is to the Pantozzi Family Bank on those two vehicles. I don't owe an outside bank. And I want my clients to get there. I want those dollars going from your left pocket to your right pocket, not to the right pocket of somebody else, right? So infinite banking is about understanding the flow of dollars that is all going out. Rich people, smart people have figured out a way to get money flowing toward them instead of away from them. People who don't consider themselves rich, and this is all a psychological issue, right? It's how you view yourself. Some people have resigned themselves to the idea that, listen, my money's all accounted for. I don't own my money. My money is spoken for. My money is going out. There's nothing I can do about it. And all I can do is hope to have, you know, a decent vacation once a year and keep clothes on my kids' backs and send them to soccer and do whatever we do in a most ordinary way. If that's your life and you love it, that's fine. But if you feel like you're addicted, right, to credit and it is controlling your life, well, then you need to look under the hood and find out why, right? Because the dollars going out of your system are going there because you made that choice, right? So that's why when you and I talk, it takes me 20 minutes to say hello, right? But infinite banking is all about getting control of the banking function, which is all the dollars coming in, all the dollars going out. And it's learning the specific things that banks do in order to make money and finding out that several of those key components that banks do, we can do on an individual, family, small business basis. We could get control of our finances and turn that ship around and start having some of those dollars coming back into our system and not disrupting our lifestyle, not cutting our arm off with regard to what we want to enjoy.
So, Joe, you mentioned Nelson Nash, and I know he was a great mentor to you. And I think the book is it Becoming Your Own Banker? Is that the one that you're talking about, or was there others?
Becoming Your Own Banker, subtitle, The Infinite Banking Concept.
Right. So tell us a little bit about how it actually came about. How did Mr. Nash come up with the concept? Give us a little background.
Sure. So Nelson Nash, I think, graduated college and I believe got married to his wife, Mary, in about 1952. I remember that year because it's the year I was born. And so he was in the insurance and financial business maybe 20 years before me. And he puts certain things together. He talks about velocity in his book. We talk about the velocity of money. We don't want money sitting. Well, he talks about velocity and he uses the example of being an aviator because he was a pilot. And he talks about how air streams, air currents affect the actual progress of an airplane as it makes its way through an atmosphere, right? So he brings to bear an understanding and experience on aviation. He also brings to bear his experience on being a forester. Because if you're a forester, you're tending to a forest of trees for a particular purpose. Maybe you're going to create lumber out of many of those trees. You're going to select cut. You're going to care for them over decades. And that gives you the truth that if you're going to be a forester or if you're going to manage your finances, you need to be able to think long term. Now, we do need to think short term in terms of taking care of this week's needs, this month's needs, this year's needs. But we also need to think about the future, not only my future, but the future for my kids and my grandkids and far beyond. So it's, if you want to call it multitasking, you know, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, eternally, we're thinking about living in this world, and it takes a perspective that takes into account not only the immediate present, but also the distant future. Forestry teaches you when's the best time to plant a tree, 50 years ago, right? When's the next best time? Today. And you're not going to harvest those trees that you plant next week, next month, next year. You're going to harvest them 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, right? So long-term thinking, the issues about velocity. He also gets his experience from being in the life insurance business and understanding and studying the use of the primary product that we use, which is a whole life policy. And we've learned how to actually tweak a whole life policy by using the riders and the privileges that are inherent in owning that policy. And so because of all the attributes of a whole life policy, which the vast majority of people don't understand, but it is just 2x4 simple. Because of the attributes that are in that policy, you can build up equity, you could build up capital and have access to that amount of money instead of having to go out and open up credit line after credit line after credit card after car loan. And ultimately, you could start financing your purchases, your investments, your second home, your vacations by taking loans against, and the word against is really important, loans against the equity that you build up.
So don't give it all away, Joe. Yeah. Don't give it all away, because next episode, gotcha, we're going to be talking about whole life insurance. We're going to be talking about loans and using that in a couple episodes. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on the history and Nelson Nash. Now, how about this? How does the infinite banking concept differ from traditional banking?
So it's a gigantic subject, but the essence of the infinite banking concept is that it's taking finances and bringing them back into your own house, right? Traditional banking is using a banking system. It's opening up a savings account. It's opening up a checking account. It's having a CD. Hardly anybody has a CD at the bank. A lot of people do, right? Guess who has people? Guess who has CDs at banks? People with money, right? And so what I'm trying to do, and I'm teaching this to everyone, because our clients who get this are clients who have gigantic policies and they just keep on buying more, right? And what I'm trying to do is reach out to the people that haven't even started a policy yet. Maybe they listen to the wrong DJ. Maybe they listen to the wrong financial entertainer who doesn't care a lick about their private circumstances. But, you know, I'm trying to help contribute to financial literacy, right? And if I continue to have the platinum credit line and FICO score with ABC Bank, well, all it's going to do is increase their profits. But the infinite banking concept just takes a look at finding your finances available through your own resources. I mean, paying yourself back. I mean, let's use a savings account. I have $5,000 in my savings account. I want to borrow out $1,000 to buy something, buy a power tool. Okay. I'm into learning carpentry lately. So buying a power tool. What most people would do would be, okay, I'm going to borrow out $1,000, which means withdraw. It doesn't mean borrow. It means withdraw in most people's cases. I'm going to take out $1,000 and I'm going to pay myself back, which means pay back into the bank savings account at $100 a month. And in 10 easy months, I've paid back the $1,000. That's not banking. When you borrow from a bank, they're charging you. Let's say they're charging you 5%, right? So easy math, we're not going to do this on a whiteboard right now. What if I paid back $105 a month to the bank in 10 months and I wound up paying $1,050, which means I paid the bank back some interest, okay? Now, what I want to do is I want to teach my clients, if there's a cost of money, and we could talk about that some other time, if there's a cost of money, you shouldn't be paying yourself back what you would pay the bank. You should be paying yourself back more than you would pay the bank. If you pay the bank $105 a month, I want to pay your savings account back $110 a month. Because I want you to understand the concept of banking on your own resources, using your own capital. We can get into the use, the products and the life insurance and so forth. The first thing I want people to get is you should be operating on your own capital account that you continually increase and add to and protect. And that is not your 401k. It's not your IRA. It's not your Roth IRA. It's not some retirement plan. This is immediate cash that you continue to build up. Now, the entertainers out there are always saying you should have 3 to 6 months emergency fund. Well, yeah, I understand that. And most people yes it to death and they don't really do it. But not only should you have 3 to 6 months emergency, 5 years from now, you should have a year's worth. And 10 years from now, you should have 3 years worth. And I'm talking about capital, cash, liquidity that you can get your hands on without regard to what it's earning. And talk about being radical. Let's be radical for a minute. What if you could never earn another dime's worth of interest on your savings account? Should you continue to put money away? Absolutely. Now, can we go next level and say where it can be more effective and efficient? Of course we can. But before we go there, we have to stop the bleeding of the people who say, I can't do this, right? So if you're one of those people that say, I can't do this, there's no amount of podcasts or books or recordings or speakers in the world that are going to make you change your life, right? So I'm here to help people get wealthy. Really, for one giant reason, one giant overarching reason, so they could do good, so they could do more good in the world. So if you're struggling financially, you're not able to take care of yourself. You're not able to put your own oxygen mask on for yourself. And I need to help you get to the place where you're self-sustaining, where you're self-supporting, where you're more than surviving, you're thriving, so that you could think about doing the good things that you want to do in the world if you had the ability, if you had the extra money.
When? When you have it.
Well, that's the point. With most people, their attitude is, if I ever get to that place, I'll do such and such. You know, if I get a $100,000 bonus, I'll give my church $10,000. Wait a minute. You got a $1,000 bonus. Why don't you give them $100?
Yeah, let's bring it to today. So I don't want to step into the next episode yet. So today we talked about what infinite banking is. We talked a little bit about the origins and history of infinite banking and the differences of the infinite banking concept versus traditional banking. So Joe, for next time, now I have the notes in front of me, so I'll do the tease. But for next time, we're going to cover the backbone of infinite banking, and that's where you've already touched on the idea of whole life insurance. So, Joe, thank you for dropping some knowledge and getting us prepared. And you guys who are out there listening, this is just one of a whole series where we're going to prepare you. We're going to get your head right. We're going to get you understanding how and why you should be using infinite banking so that you can hop on a call with Joe when you're ready to take action and he can get you going. Anything you want to say in closing, Joe?
You know, it's a big subject and we can break it down very simply, right? So this is managing human behavior way more than dealing with some kind of a esoteric, complicated product. It's about getting your mindset right and setting your course and your vision.
All right. That is a wrap for today's show. We will be back in your earbuds next time.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.